Well, good morning. We bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Southeast Asia, whom we are part of and who you are a part of. So this morning we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to get your Bibles out, your phones out. But Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to highlight certain verses within the chapter to see and help you know how you're connected to what God is doing in Southeast Asia. But Hebrews chapter 11 is just an amazing chapter. And if you want to take time to follow up this week and just read it again and again, let God touch your heart and do things in your life, then I know that you will be blessed because of God's word. But Hebrews chapter 11 begins like this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world is created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which are not seen. So it starts off here talking about faith. And it says it's the assurance of things hoped for. And so our faith is something that is sure. It's not a, well, maybe, you know, 90% kind of a thing. But faith in God is something that is hoped for. It's a conviction of things not seen. So often we think our faith depends on what I can do, what I can see, what I can touch, and so forth. But that's not what it's dependent upon, because it's dependent on God. In verse 3, it says that the world is created by the word of God. And where we live, the majority of people there believe that Jesus is also called the word of God, according to their holy writings also. And they believe, they have a faith in God who created the heavens and the earth. And they have faith in Abraham, that God spoke to Abraham and had him leave his home with his family. I mean, this was a huge caravan that left. It wasn't just Abe and Sarah taking off on their Harley. Let's go somewhere. You know, the two of them. It was a whole caravan of them, their family, their servants, their livestock. I mean, they're heading out, and it's like, okay, sweetheart, where are we going? Yes. Oh, no, like, where? Yes. But the faith of Abraham, we both look to and see God working in that. So this faith, our faith is in God. It's not in a religion. It's not in a set of beliefs. It is set in God. Because he is the one, as we sung earlier, who is faithful. We believe in him because of his faithfulness through the years to our lives. And with Abraham and Sarah, it wasn't seen for them right away. But we want to go on. Look down to verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was to go. Not knowing where he was to go. But that was why? Because of faith in God. Okay, God's called me to do this. We're going. Where are we going? Don't know, hon, but we're going. God knows, and that's enough. When we first went to Southeast Asia 16 years ago, we didn't know exactly where we were going. I mean, we knew the place where we were going to land, but we had no idea God would be taking us on this journey that has resulted through many believing and having faith in God and in Jesus as the Word of God, as the Messiah, so that now there's that we know through the people you're connected to, that we're connected to in Southeast Asia, that there's 400,000 followers of Jesus as the Christ. And it's just amazing. The journey God has taken us on, praise God, we don't know. We could never see that much, right? We would not see that ahead, but God does, because, man, I've got so much for you. Faith, that's what he's talking about. So verse 8, Abraham doesn't know where he was going, but he takes off. It was like one of the men that we work with that you are praying for, and I'll just call him Frank. So Frank gets a call from another country in Southeast Asia and says, we hear you're doing well in ministry. There's a church contacts him. Will you come and teach our leaders? We want to learn from you. So he says, sure. He takes a step of faith that he would have the money to get there and so forth. And he goes on this journey, think he knows where he's going. So he gets there and meets the gentleman in the airport. And the guy says, well, where's your coat and tie? And Frank is like, I don't own a coat and tie. He goes, you don't have a coat and tie? Well, sorry, you got to have a coat and tie if you're going to talk to our church. And he says, well, I don't have one. And so this gentleman from the church drops him, leaves him there in the airport and says, sorry, we're done. So here's Frank. And he's thinking, okay, Lord, where am I going? You know, you brought me here for a reason. There's the faith. You brought me here for a reason. Where shall I go? So he grabs his bag and goes out, thinks, okay, there's people hanging out in this park over here. So he goes over, starts talking to people to strike up a spiritual conversation, which is part of the way we're doing things in the disciple-making movement. Finally ends up talking to this one guy. He responds positively to spiritual conversation, talking about God and our lives together. Then it gets to a point to where Frank says, hey, would you like to discover more truth about God from the Holy Writings? This guy says, yeah, I would. So he says, well, get 3 or 4 of your friends and let me know when you get them together and we'll meet again and we'll start together, discovering together. So the next day, he calls Frank and says, hey, I got some friends. Let's meet. So he says, super. So they get there and they meet together. Frank is only in this other country for 2 weeks was his plan with this other group that dropped him. So he begins to meet with this young man and his friends at the park. And then as they're going along, then this young man comes to faith. But then Frank has to leave and go back to our country. So they stay in touch, praise God, through a cell phone. And they use that for discipling. And so it ends up that this group comes to faith. Frank had no idea he was going to even meet these people in this group. But God knew where he was going. And he took them there from this group. It's gone from that country to 2 other near neighboring countries. It's grown within all 3 of those countries. And then it went to a 4th Southeast Asian country. And so now there's, well over 1,000 believers in these groups and in these home churches meeting together. And so it's just exciting. You don't know where you're going? That's all right. It's not a problem for God. Faith. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land of promise, verse 9, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, verse 10, for he looked forward to the city which has its foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Again, our faith is not in a religion. It's not a set of beliefs. It is God himself, because he is faithful. And that's why we trust him. That's why we have faith in him, that whatever comes, he knows what's coming that way, and he is with us during that time. Then verse 11, it continues, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Boy, there it is right there. She considered him faithful. Her body was not at an age. I mean, there's not a whole lot of 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds having babies these days, are there? But she considered him who is faithful, because he made the promise that it would happen, and it did. Both of them out of their time of bearing children, but God makes it happen. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants. Notice plural, descendants, as many of the stars of the heaven and as innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. God will just do amazing things when we place our faith in him. There's another gentleman that we know that I work with, and Debbie has also met. I'll call him Michael. So when I first met Michael, he was a teacher of the majority religion where we are and had come to faith in Jesus to believe that he is the Messiah. But before that, I asked him, I said, so what difference has Jesus made in your life? And he goes, oh, and he just lights up. He says, I was afraid of everything. He says, I'm a teacher. I have students. I have other teachers with me. I was afraid of all of them. I have people in charge of me. I was afraid of them too. He says, everybody I was afraid of. And he said, and I was afraid of water. I didn't want to go by this certain tree because it might be possessed and bring harm to me or my family. He says, I was just afraid of everything. But when I confessed my faith in Jesus as the Messiah, 80% of my fears just vanished. So they were just gone. I wasn't afraid of everybody anymore. I could stand up and speak. And so Michael, in his walk with Jesus, his journey of faith with him, back in June of this year, there was a well-known paranormal or spiritualist in his area. And this guy had a friend. This paranormal, he had a couple of clients that were coming to him for help. And so one guy called Mr. Perry. He was about 50 years old. And he was in deep debt, and he was receiving death threats because of his debts that he had not paid. And so he wanted to sell some land. And so Mr. Perry goes to the paranormal, says, you know, I need your help. My land's cursed. It's not selling. People are threatening me. I've got to sell my land. And he tries to help, and he can't. So it ended up that one night, the paranormal, we'll call him Mr. Artie, he's 42 years old, and a father of two. And he actually supervises a large department store in his area. But he had heard of Michael. And so Mr. Artie takes his friend Mr. Perry, who was his client, over to Michael and says, we need help. Here's the situation. And so Michael says, okay. But he says, you know, you got to realize there's some evil going on here. Michael says, you know, it's not a problem. And so he prays for each of them individually and prays the power of Jesus over their life, casting out demons from their own lives personally. And then 2 weeks later, at the time of evening prayers, this paranormal, who is not following Jesus at all, during the prayer time, he sees the clouds and he looked like a dragon ready to devour him, which spoke lots to him in his activities. And so he went over to Michael, and he went to stand in front of him and be with him right away. And then, so Michael prayed again and shared with him. And then 1 week later after that, Mr. Artie was baptized, and then Mr. Perry. And so these men found faith in God who is faithful. The fact that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Christ, he is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does. So here in chapter 11, and I would just say that through the gentleman we work with, Michael is one of his disciples, and now in their discipling group, then they have thousands of believers now who are out in family churches, house churches, cell churches together, because the descendants of the sea are many. If you jump down to verse 32, after more examples of how people had faith with God, it says, verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets. And then verse 35, women received their dead by resurrection. You see, faith in God is not a sexist thing. It's for everyone. God responds in faith. He responds in miracles to people because of who he is, not because of who we are. So God sees each one of you. Man or woman, he sees you. And he is ready to use his resurrection power in your life. Then it goes on and says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release that they might rise again to a better life. They said, you know what? I'm not denying Jesus. God is faithful to me. Even though I suffered and this happens, I am following him and my faith is in him. When we were in Southeast Asia, we had moved from one house to another, and we were at this one house, and it was all of our neighbors didn't have the faith that we had, and so we had a gentleman who was one of their teachers and a believer and a follower of Jesus come and give a housewarming, I guess you might say in English. So he gives a speech to them and helps them understand why we should all get along together from their own holy writings. Prays over the house, prays over us, and our neighbors were just blown away, impressed by this guy. And so this gentleman, who also had led thousands to faith a while ago, while we were here, there were people who didn't like what he was doing in helping people find this hope in Jesus. And he was captured, and they tortured him, and they burned him alive. And so this was a man who had done this. So these type of things are not just back in the Bible days. These are happening now. Verse 36 says, others suffered mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And so here are more stories, but this is happening today. You're a part of it. You're a part of what's happening in Southeast Asia for people who are experiencing these things right now. Because their faith and their love for Jesus and the hope, the living hope he's put in their hearts and lives is indistinguishable. And it doesn't matter how they've been tortured, what they said. It just makes them more brave. And they consider themselves blessed and worthy to, as the scriptures say, help complete the sufferings of Jesus. And so there's just nothing that stops these men and women that are out there. The men that we're working with, that you're praying for, that you're helping, they've been poisoned and are still living. They've been robbed. They've had accidents on their motorcycles as they're riding hundreds of kilometers a day to reach people, to reach their leaders and help teach and train them. And then verse 39 and 40, this is an awesome ending. And all these, though well attested by their faith, did not receive what was promised. What? Did not receive what was promised, since God had seen something better for us. I expected it to say for them. But God says for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Can you see the interconnectedness that we have with our brothers and sisters around the world? From the time before Jesus was born to the time where he was born and believers are now believing in him, there is a connectedness that God brings us all together. We are the great family of God because of his faithfulness and power. You are connected with what's happening in Southeast Asia and the explosion of hundreds of thousands that are coming to faith in Jesus as the Christ, with those who are being tortured, those who are being killed, and those who are still go out and just live the life that God has them to live by faith. And so now Debbie's going to come and share even more of how we're connected and made complete through the others that we are in life with and that we are in ministry with.
Thanks. All right. Hi, it's so good to see you. I have a film I'm going to show in just a second, or our great team in the back will show in just a second. I just want to say it's such a joy to be with you. It is such a rewarding experience to be with those who have been praying for our country and for us and those saints that you'll meet in heaven. And heaven is going to be fun. You are going to love getting the full story, the background, the current events, the future, what happened. You're going to love this, and you're going to have story upon story upon story. I only know about 10%, and I love it, and you're going to love it too. So I'm excited for that. Also, another thing I'd like to share with you is that you support Ian. And he got to do language learning in the town where we live. And that was just a really fun thing to have him there. And it was funny because we are related through kind of generational things, but we're related. And what surprised me for myself was, even though I don't have any shared memories of him growing up, just having family in town was so precious. And then we would have weekly family dinner. He chose to come to our home church fellowship. And a few other shared times that we had together. So that was really fun. So thanks for supporting him as well and encouraging him. He's doing great, as you know. And then you'll also support our son, who is working. He is staff with our same company, and he does things to make healthy missionaries on effective teams. But right now he's doing another assignment for temporary and teaching high school science, junior high and high school science at a international Christian school. That's just keeping dozens of families on the field doing what they do best. And he is also one of the spiritual directors. He's in charge of chapel for this Christian school. And he's still doing LifeWorks on the side for a few people. So that's thank you also. And if Ian was fun having in town. Let me tell you, it is great having our boy in town. After being separated for a dozen years, to have him in town is a real joy. So it is really, we know it's a short, sweet season that we get with him. And we thank you for supporting him also. And you'll love hearing his stories of students that he's touched and encouraged during his time there. So me. Could you play that? It's about a 2-minute film. Could you play that first?
People, men, women, boys, and girls are being deceived into slavery by false promises and debt bondage, financial oppression, lack of education or opportunity, family violence, greed, the lack of the rule of law.
Human trafficking is the modern day
are major contributing factors to human trafficking. Destruction, shame, hopelessness marks their present and their future. The horrors are global, and they are even seen in our sweet town in Central Java. It's happening to our neighbors. What is Pearl? Preventing exploitation, actively restoring lives, is a grassroots ministry to bring awareness to prevent human trafficking and restore lives of rescued people. Their theme verses are Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 45, 2-3. Pearl interacts with these abused lives with the belief that every person has value. Pearl makes a difference through prayer, actively getting involved with at-risk individuals, presentations, and trainings. Pearl also has a training center where at-risk women develop marketable skills while being instilled with the truth of God's Word. This brings up their self-confidence and prevents women and their families from being trafficked. These trained women create these beautiful products. Pearl is also influencing the youth through their offshoot group, Peace Generation. Through their 12 values of peace, they help create a healthy generation of young people who will be resilient against trafficking. Pearl has a love outreach to the city's nightclub district, loving and giving value to women who have lost hope. Pearl's after-school community helps vulnerable youth to make safe decisions and stay in school. The results that Pearl has seen are prevention, restoration, hope, joy, and freedom.
You. That gives you a quick overview of who what Pearl does. We've expanded in a few other areas, but I would just like to highlight a few things as our time is short. Then the next slide. I don't know how to do this. Sorry. Okay. This is the core team that does those amazing things. And that's them and their families on the bottom at a retreat we just had. And I am so thankful for them. And we don't do high-risk rescues, as you might see in a variety of other things. But we are learning in the long term that those wonderful ladies are putting their lives on the line. During COVID, we were able to reach out into the boarding rooms where a lot of the sexually commercial workers live and hand out food, vitamins, and some monthly needs and actually have conversations. Sometimes they lasted for a minute. Sometimes they lasted for 2 hours to get to know them, pray with them, share the hope of God with them, build trust with them. So through their interactions during the COVID season, that is of a risk. One young lady, she is going to the local lung hospital regularly with an HIV positive person to get her medicine. So just going to that hospital during these last 8 months is a high risk situation. The next way they're putting their lives on the line is connected to the next story on the next slide. This young lady because Steve has learned a lot about human trafficking since we've started this journey down this road. The Lord talked to his spirit. The spirit of the Lord said, this woman is in trouble. She needs help. She needs intervention. And so through the short story of that is through partnerships, we helped her get off her deathbed, and now she is living with us. Her and see those cute little feet up there in the corner? Her child, her four-year-old child. And one of the things she does, you want to show that? You want to hold it up high? You want to come up here? Here you go. Your sister can too if she wants. There, she's making these wonderful string bracelets through another ministry, has opened up the opportunity. So one way she's making a little change is, thank you so much, is she is making those string bracelets. I have 20 left if you're interested. And I only brought hers to sell. I didn't bring anybody else's. And we found out in the last couple of weeks that those cute little 2 feet that you saw, her son has an active case of tuberculosis. And so I've really struggled over the last 2 weeks because I have learned that I've exposed all those wonderful people jumping high at the beach, that one. I've exposed them all to TB, as well as my son, as well as my husband, to welcome her into our home. So our prayer is that everyone will be healthy. They have been tested. Steve and I have been tested. We're safe. Don't worry. We're negative for TB. Most of the team is. We have 2 to 3 people we're still getting consultation with a local doctor here in America to find out more about their situation. So we appreciate your prayer for their health. So maybe it's not an immediate situation, but it's a long-term chronic putting their life on the line to care for people in a high-risk, marginal situation. So we are very happy to tell you that this lady is so much healthier. She is safe. Her son is safe. They were both in trafficking situations, and that they are looking for a bright hope and a future, and she's growing closer to the Lord. So we're very thankful for that. That's a God applause. Yes, it is. Okay, next. I touched on this. During COVID, we were able to go up into the district. We have a district in our cute little town that has 2 streets that are full of what they call cafe karaoke. And so the best way to turn that in English is nightclub. It's like nightclubs. And there's only in that, not only in that district, heavily in that district. When Tim came about 4 and a half years ago, he went down to the health clinic where we sit and visit with the ladies during while they're waiting for their health screening. But we always felt like that was not quite enough. We need to do more. And so COVID opened up the door that we could go to their places where they live and take time and interact with the ladies. So this is the team going around to the different places. They're dumps. I would say 60% of them are dumps. They're just horrid. 40% are pretty averagely okay. But it's just amazing. And most of the women are there. They're single moms, undereducated, and they're just trying to make it by. Somebody said, hey, I got a good job for you. Would you like to come and work? They think they're going to go to a restaurant. They find out they're working in a nightclub. Most of them, when they came, they never drank or smoked. Now they do quite regularly. Most of them didn't have tattoos. Now, the tattoos are the end-all of end-all, but in that country, a tattoo marks you in a different way. It's not just creative art that you want to carry around with you wherever you go. It signifies something different. And their shame keeps them far from telling truth with their family or going home to family. And I hurt for the women, and I hurt for the generation below them. These children of single parents in our country are at high risk for even greater evils to happen the next thing down. So one, my encouragement to all churches, no matter what country you're in, is befriend a single mom. Don't make a program for her. Welcoming her into the rhythm of your life and help her and her children see a balanced future for them all. Next. So I have prayer cards out front, and they're very similar to the one I passed out 2 years ago, except for about two or three things. One is, this is our COVID edition, as you can tell with the masks, getting ready to hand out some food. Then the other one is down in the corner. There's a little house. The ones before said, please pray if Pearl should open a safe house. And through God's provision, his timing, and wisdoms, he is opening doors for us to open a safe house. So we've had an unofficial one in our home, but now we're going to go toward an official safe house with a full-fledged empowerment program to go along with it. And so that is a small symbol with a big difference. And your prayers and support have brought it to that point. So thank you. And it's such a joy to partner with you, and especially partner with my brother. That's, you know, priceless. So thank you. I think that's all. I think that's the end.
Thank you, Steve and Debbie. We've been able to partner with them for many, many years. And to me, it's humbling, and it's also a joyful point to know that through you, through us, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of people have come to know Jesus Christ through the support of this ministry. And I'm blessed. I was down at Calvary San Jose on Wednesday night, and what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, it was really good. Joshua, my topic was Joshua, and I started off with Joshua 24:15. He's 110 years old. He's just about to die, and he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I said, okay, I began with the end, but I want to look at four snapshots of Joshua's life that'll bring us up to 24:15. And so we looked at that. And when he said, when Joshua said, chapter 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, it just wasn't some kind of, you know, Christianese, or maybe back then it would have been Israelese, or, you know, it wasn't just some kind of, you know, stock spiritual thing that you say to people. It was the testimony, the fruit of a life that had been lived before God. And when he said that, it carried spiritual authority. It's one of the reasons that we continue to quote it today. It just wasn't something flippant that he said, but it came from a life lived before God. And I'm just so grateful for the fruit of lives lived before God. And when Joshua said that in 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he had the whole respect of Israel. And the thing is this, is that he had earned it. He had earned it. When Moses laid hands on him and commissioned him to be the next leader, everybody said, well, duh. I mean, it should be him. If Moses had grabbed his nephew that nobody knew and laid hands on him, they would have said, who's that guy? We're not going to follow him. We don't know him. But Joshua had earned the respect of Israel. And I don't think anybody, and if you did, just consider yourself rebuked right now. Well, you know, we're just supporting them because that's Tim's sister and his brother-in-law. Listen, they've earned our support through hundreds of thousands of hours of just selfless living and giving themselves away in another country. And not just them, the whole team that they work with and so many other mission agencies, you know, that are out there. They deserve, they earned what is given to them. We know about the grace of God. We know about the mercy of God. We also know about lives that are laid down in surrender, that work hard, that give themselves sacrificially. And so I am pleased and privileged to partner with both of you, as is the church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Would you take your communion kits, please, and give you a second to wrestle through that cellophane and to take the cracker that represents the body of Christ given for us. And we are breaking bread today with literally millions of new Christians in Southeast Asia in the last 10 years, in the last 15 years, through the outpouring of those that have gone, whether they be Americans or Australians or from Europe or from Africa. We are partaking. They are eating. They're drinking of the same elements that you and I are. And we're one in Jesus Christ with Frank and Michael and Mr. Uri or Mr. Perry or whatever fictitious names you gave those guys. We're one with the body of Christ around the world. And what a privilege it is to partake with. I'd always struggled with the concept. Paul says there that we who eat of the loaf are the same loaf. And I've always had a thought, well, you know, we're breaking off. You're taking a piece, you're taking a piece, you're taking a piece. It's not one loaf, it's a bunch of pieces. But I heard a fella just a few weeks ago say, if a vase falls on the ground and breaks, how many vases are on the floor? Just one. And the body of Christ, broken and passed around, how many bodies is there? Just one. And we are one body in Jesus Christ. So let's take the bread together. The Lord, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat it, all of you." Let's partake together. And with millions, if not billions around the world, but certainly millions that are new in the last decade in Southeast Asia, we're drinking together of the blood of Christ, because he who died and bled and died for us is he who bled and died for those all around the world. Amen. So we're partaking with everybody around this globe. In the night that he was betrayed, he also took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. Take and drink it, all of you." So let's drink together. Father, we're grateful to belong to this awesome body around the world. Thank you for your love poured out. Thank you for your grace given. Thank you for your mercy that's been bestowed. Thank you, Lord, that millions have come to faith in Jesus through the ministry of Steve and Debbie and those of the team and others that are embedded there in Southeast Asia. And Father, we pray for the believers in these communities that to declare your faith could be a death sentence. To declare your faith could be to be ostracized from the family and the community. And so, Father, we pray for them that they would be strengthened in Christ, that by faith, Lord, they would know that your grace is with them. By faith, they would walk with you as Abraham did, as Sarah did, as those of whom the world was not worthy did. We give you praise and honor, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.